So the title of our talk today, our presentation, is More Than Plaques on Walls. By having this title, More Than Plaques on Walls, you might get the thought that there's we're going to be talking about walls, and we're really not. But if you want further studies on that, there's some great starting points with Isaiah 60, verse 18, and Revelation 21, 12 regarding walls. We wanted to use as our introduction the thought expressed in reprint 4102, Christian Home Embellishments is the subtitle. And we wanted to, this was kind of a long-term inspiration to us, so we wanted to make sure that we included this. So for several years we have been supplying our readers, the pastor says, with handsome texts and motto cards for the walls of their homes. Their influence is excellent, for they continually and cheerfully catch the eye and remind the heart of our great favors present and to come, based upon the exceeding great and precious promises of our Father's word. We commend these as helps in the narrow way, helps in character building. Of all the possible routes we may take to escape the things now coming to pass, the only viable one is to trust God. The command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And this begins the best possible advice during the widespread heart-hurting fear and wild, if not nefarious, engagements mankind in general are now experiencing. Love God with all your heart. Why this command? Because love never faileth. We need pray for more of it, as well as for the strength to endure faithfully. This combination of benefits, of blessings, of his working grace within our hearts, instant in prayer, for help in every time of need, is the work we are now to consider as our Father's business, the business in which we are to be employed every day as we let the light of his blessed kingdom and eternal hope shine a little bit from each of us. As an aid in building this trust, becoming his love, and witnessing to this kingdom hope, we must keep his word paramount in our minds, upon the walls of our hearts. This is our journey. And seeing the holy word on our wall at home is a help indeed in character building, as mentioned in the reprint 4102 above. But having collected and surveyed our wall plaques gathered over the last several years, all the gathering done by my wife Mary Lou, we found that we had nearly 50 scriptures where these were drawn from. And we divided them, they seemed to divide into 7 categories. And so that's our outline today, these 7 categories. Our emphasis, therefore, today will be first, have faith, trust, hope in God. Number 2, be looking for holy filling of your heart and mind, and to have this mind be the control of your will. Number 3, live in constancy of prayer. Number 4, be strong in the Lord. Number 5, let the peace of God truly sum up your heart every day, no matter what. Number 6, live in his love. Perform your daily tasks in conscious adoration of love, of his love, of him who is love. And number 7, be increasingly thankful to the Lord and express it out loud. 7 items. So for our first part is regarding faith, which includes trust in God and hope in Christ to the end. Our consecrated hearts and mental endeavors are already aware, well aware, that our own minds are tainted irrevocably. We are admonished, therefore, to trust in the Lord, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We have been so burned by leaning on our own understanding. It isn't even possible to enter this narrow way on our own by our thinking. It took God's invitation, because the Father's acceptance of us to the point of begetting us with his Holy Spirit is predicated on him searching our heart and finding a willing sacrifice to build on. The favor only continues when we humbly continue to acknowledge his constant work within and see that every step of our onward way is God-directed if we remain his followers. Hebrews 11:1, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. Thus, it is necessary to never fade in our hope, never fail to look with the eye of faith to the grace of God, which works it by means of his word, applied in moments and treasured forever. Yes, God worketh in us to will and to do his will. We are not manipulated, but set free by God thus. He keeps us every day, keeps us safe from all danger, from today until we arise hereafter. Recall that we are thus of those who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I think that's now. In the world, fear is real. And it is true that our flesh will not be counted separate from the world in the sense that we will not, on occasion, feel some of the very same things as they. But we need not fear as they, for we have something they know little of. Trust in God. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The complex way we trust God and trust Jesus is simply illustrated as the relationship of a shepherd to his sheep. We are the docile, leadable, not self-willed sheep. Jesus, our shepherd. The things he does for us every single day is summarized in the 23rd Psalm, where green pastures are illustrative of our heavenly provender, meat in due season, daily heavenly manna, readied for our consumption, and still waters, like a sea of glass comparatively, where we may imbibe the deep truths now so necessary. Yes, let us read this psalm and consider its faith, trust, and hope message to our hearts. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're reminded of hymn 284, The Easy Yoke. The lyric says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I've found it so, I have found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night, where living waters flow. My soul crieth out, restore me again, and give me the strength to take the narrow path of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so, I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night, where living waters flow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, yet why should I then fear ill? For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff me comfort still." Yes, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I found it so, you found it so. He leadeth us by day and by night where living waters flow. Another aspect that we need to be assured is that God will continue to set up every day, every moment, chock full of his blessed influences for our hearts. We receive these blessings when we look to him for them. It is important that we do so because the new creation life needs this. He has begun this life in us and poured the necessary grace upon our hearts as the means to effect the salvation through Christ. Ephesians 2:5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Thus, this hope, this trust, this faith leads us to heavenly riches, to a wealth of grace, treasures of character growth, like to our Master and well-pleasing to our Father, who did call us. He called us with a heavenly calling. Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Did you notice that the Lord did not purposely intend sorrow with his blessing? He addeth no sorrow with it. Yes, we are blessed to know his plan enough to change our sorrow to something quite not alike the world's darkened sorrow, as, for instance, the death of a loved one. We have learned in faith to trust God and hope to the end. Our second part of the seven is that change of mind, the reforming of the thoughts, the discarding of self-will, and the taking our lot with the doing of God's instead. Be a heart that God designs, and let him carry that designed out continuously, daily, moment by moment, grasping for his word to tell us or to lead us. Micah 7:14, "Lead your people, Lord. Come, be our shepherd." It is a grand thought that the Lord will indeed come forth and be our shepherd through this consecrated and set apart life to him. He must steer, and we must follow. It is not of compulsion, but of deep desire to follow after that which is good, to follow Christ and acknowledging the Father repeatedly. Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Do we find our way? Do we find our way has been less than perfect? Have we said or done things wrong, even in our consecrated walk? Have we been humbled by these? And more importantly, have even these caused us to pant for watery brooks? Yes. the watery brooks of his guidance out of the fleshly predicament. We are here exactly to learn thus of our need. Life in the narrow way has shown us the truth in that of which the inspired apostle also proclaimed, "Have this mind in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." Because the mind of the flesh will lead to uncertainty at best, and to ruin most certainly. It is not for us to awaken the Lord to our need, but for us to awaken our own hearts in agreeing to the wise choice of our checkered and bruised experience, when we look up and request that we by faith have already found it to be true, that we are led of the Lord and desire to be led by Him, and not let ourselves be food for the wolves of selfishness and a pride of life. Yes, indeed, as we quoted in Micah 7:14 above, "Lead your people, Lord, come and be our shepherd. We want to be thus led." Nearly 50 years ago, some of us less, some of us more, we gave our worldly everything to the Lord. Nothing was worth the candle, and this has not diminished. What has become apparent is the personal help that the Lord has been. We all need to have this one-on-one relationship solidified in our hearts as a sure foundation. Jesus is our personal Savior. Thus, too, we have found the Father Himself loves each of those whom He has called very, very much. Do you know the love of your own child, perhaps, if you've had this privilege? Know that His is even more. Consider the meaning of this proclamation and let it be important to your thinking, to your heart. Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Yes, and lest we think we are invisible to God somehow, hear the promise of Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Here we are concerned about having our wills be one with His, making our thoughts conform in purity and honesty and true and just and lovely, while the Father cares so, so much for you, committed so strongly, believes in you, that He has graven you upon the palms of His hands. Do you not want to make your efforts even more zealous in your love for Him when you consider thus? We are in this way because there is nothing else that will satisfy our hearts. Every year, every day, this gap has only grown more expansive. We are now the work of God in the light, while yet in the dark. How is it that we are in the light? By heavenly truth, God helps our finding not only the gate, but every step behind it, every moment, every day. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Our heads are changing, our hearts expanding, not from reading history or the news, no, but considering Him, His thoughts, His will, taking us higher. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than can be numbered. They are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This walk with Jesus is unlike any other commitment in the world. It isn't a commitment to a job or to a country, oh no. This is a forever commitment, as in eternity, not unto death, but into the life in the stars. This change of self to be the best copy of God's love we can does start afresh right now. Right now. Do you remember Joshua? Of course you do. 24:15. As for me and my house, you could see it quoted at the bottom of this home blessing plaque. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And now that we are absolutely sure we mean it, that we are followers of the Lamb, willing sacrifices, we must also, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See your good works. What are those? What do they see when the world knoweth not, when the natural man receiveth not or understands not the things of God, because of these are spiritually discerned? Our next text will help with the answer, for even the world may know something of selflessness, of giving up our opinion, or of deflecting hurtful things in favor of kindness. Yes, many say kindness matters, but this often is a message meant for the other guy, instead of owning kindness ourselves, becoming gentle, becoming peaceable, living a life of love. The change comes in us as we become dead to self, as instructed in Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. How much the Word of God gives us about changing our minds every day to be one with His, letting self-will die off, killing selfish thoughts, and making room, one big room in our hearts for Christ to fill. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yes, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Some of us have cell phones with voice activation, and you use a certain key word and it can be heard. I submit to you that Christ can hear, without any key words, all that we converse about. How important it is for us to understand that our conversation is indeed with the Lord. Moving on to our third part, just very briefly, is some thoughts on living a constant life of prayer, instant, incessant, unremitting, and taking our minds, our hearts to the Lord. Reprint 5744. Quote, the object of prayer is to benefit ourselves and to bring us into that attitude of mind which will be in heart readiness to receive our Father's blessing, end quote. The active parts of our prayers to the Lord are well described in reprint 3805, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, and we're not going to go into those. But it is important to follow those suggestions, 3805, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Suffice it to say that we are one with the Lord when we petition, Thy will be done in earth. And consider that, at least for now, we may be the bearers of that will in the earth, perhaps the only ones knowing what that will is. Luke 11:2-4. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is that will? What is God's will? To love. We love the Lord and His Holy Spirit. So we pray for more of that, and that we be made ready to receive such grace. We are thankful for more and more as we've advanced along this Christian way. So we pray the prayer of greater gratitude. We love those that are walking this way with us, our brethren in Christ, and know that this expression of love will be a manifestation of our love for the Lord, a copy that demonstrates to our own hearts, at least, that we have transitioned from death unto life. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our plaque has a sample prayer. My prayer, my daily prayer, is that I may do to others as I would they should do to me, and constantly. Guard all my thoughts, my words, and my deeds, and learn that love meets all my needs. And now our fourth part. Our fourth part of the seven is knowing from whence cometh our strength. Because humility taught us that we are not strong enough without help. And trust built for us a framework to accept this heavenly source necessary to daily engage in the warfare of the new creation. Our prayerful looking and asking God's help comes from the pretext that the battle is the Lord's, as pictured and proclaimed by Jehaziel to King Jehoshaphat at the gathering host. 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, and brethren in Christ, we might add. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be ye not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It takes a willing faith to trust God. Remember recently, Sister Dawn needed a place to live. We had no idea how to help, but trusted that the Lord did. Recall the Bennetts had just what Sister Dawn and her family needed. The Lord's strength. We have had many of these same experiences, enough to no longer think of this next text as merely a wish, but a fact of living in close heart union with the will of God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ strengthens, and we trust. Our strength is in trusting His. Do you remember hymn 65A? It's titled, Jesus, Grant Us Strength. Bless Jesus, grant us strength to take our daily cross, whatever it be, and gladly, for thine own dear sake, in paths of duty, follow thee. And day by day we humbly ask that holy memories of thy cross may sanctify each common task and turn to gain each earthly loss. Help us, dear Lord, our cross to bear, till at thy feet we lay it down, when through thy blood thy are pardoned there, and through the cross attain the crown. Another connection to the humble trusting in the strength of the Lord is the peace, the joy such rest gives. Nehemiah 8:10 in part says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Yes, imagine that. There is a constancy of courage beyond a single incident when our strength comes from the Lord. Recall Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And that's what it says, a little bit of that at the bottom of this plaque. And this plaque is partly quoting a poem. The more full quote is the Poems of Dawn, page 114. So we're just going to read it from there. "Just for today" is the title. "Lord, for tomorrow and its needs I do not pray. Keep me from any stain of sin, just for today. Let me both diligently work and duly pray. Let me be kind in word and deed, just for today. Let me be slow to do my will, prompt to obey. Help me to sacrifice myself, just for today. Let me no wrong nor idle word unthinking say. Set thou thy seal upon my lips, just for today. For tomorrow in its needs I do not pray. But keep me and guide me and hold me, Lord, just for today." Jeremiah 32:17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretcheth out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Not even helping Brother Randy, or Sister Erlene, or Sister Barbara, or Sister Joy, or Sister... You get the picture. One major important key in assessing the strength of the Lord is found in our belief in and constancy in consuming those precious promises. 1 Kings 8:56. "Blessed be the Lord that giveth rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises." And now our fifth area, by the way, that's at the bottom of this, what God hath promised. I'd like to read that plaque just briefly. "God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without rain, without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light on the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love." Our fifth part of the seven is peace. The emphasis on peace is significant, for it is part of the full assurance of faith. We look to have peace, but the quelling of clamor comes by faith, by obedience in conforming to Christ's image, by humble acceptance of the heavenly wisdom that cometh from above, by loving the sinner, though not the sin, by demanding justice of oneself, while hiding the faults of others with a blanket of love. If we have fully opened our hearts to the Lord, then things are counted as overruled for our highest welfare, no matter the fleshly cost. Faith tells us of the truth in the desire for peace, where the prophetic reality is not too far off now. Luke 2:14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. When we understand, really and truly understand, that the will of the Lord is for us to learn and become His love, and the law is His love, keeping thus this law not only results in our peace, but in our having great peace. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace is tied to rising higher, far than can any enemy reach. And even our own flesh may be sent packing if we hold our confidence in Christ firm unto the end. Peace is also associated with heart health. Remember Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes. We had a different scripture in here, and we left the little tag here in black to remind us to tell you that evidently the Lord wanted us to make the association of peace and the heart. We think it's because of Sister Lean's mom and Brother Randy both having heart experiences. Yes. So the special peace, it is a special peace to abide so near to Him who has loved us so. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. A great calm, waves laid flat, winds of strife taken away, and peace reigning within our hearts. Our sixth part of the seven plaques or signs of character for us to be rendered safe from all that, having learned what it means to trust God, we need to understand what this love is. This is the love that arises out of our faith. This is the love that comes from trusting. Trusting His promises. It's comes to the humble as we assess our shortcomings and our needs, which have been made to us a reality, made us realize really the beneficence of our Father. This love of the Father, the love God is, has become therefore a blessing to have Him build in our hearts through understanding His will and wonderful plan, a kind plan, the best plan. Is it really a chore to do as instructed by Jesus in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? We now have a superabundance of evidence which concludes that loving Him and emulating His love is not a chore. It's not a chore. It's a privilege and a delight. After all, consider some of love's attributes. In 1 Corinthians 13, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. Is that true? More and more has the evidence given our hearts been a resounding yes, yes. Love never does fail. Does doing for others, building up in the faith, praying for one another, speaking together about our gracious Heavenly Father with love and appreciation, with respect and reverence, with softening tones and tender hearts, show that love never does fail? Yes, indeed. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us before we were born. That's right. He knew He would need to help, and His Son had already volunteered, even before the creation of Adam and Eve. For was not Jesus the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth? God first loved us also before we were born, when 2 millennia ago, Jesus demonstrated His love in His prayer, demonstrated the Father's love when He volunteered to be executed. The love God had for whosoever should believe on Jesus. We've been talking about that from this John 17 prayer of Jesus. 1 Corinthians says, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Read it from the heart. Our pattern again is God's love. He loves us even though we are all sinners. He set the standard to love with no strings attached. Mankind doesn't have any strings to offer anyway, but so God first sets us up to escape our imminent demise. His love does this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Having changed our course in life towards the Lord always, with a humble heart, we have found the Lord opening up His promises to consume and grow. He does this because we have come to love Him so much. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And now our seventh part, the last of the seven things we may consider to escape the degradation now upon the world, is gratitude or thankfulness. Indeed, wrote the pastor in reprint 2252, as the Christian's experience grows, he is apt to come more and more to the condition of heart where his prayers to God will be chiefly thanks for mercies and favors already received, end quote. And again in reprint 31:28. Even in the attitude of prayer and thanksgiving, we probably do not discern one half of our causes for gratitude, as we shall see them by and by, when we shall know even as we are known. End quote. It takes a keen eye and willing heart to look for and find the weapons against the sin of ingratitude. The faithful will see and recall many reasons to look up and lift up the heart to God thus. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus. As we see our faults and failings and discern how the Lord helped us through them all, we gain the victory of His grace, His divine influence, tenderizing our hearts. First Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. This mercy, his loving kindness, as another translation puts it, comes so often to us that we feel, as it were, God's own arms around us. Tough it is to forget his nearness when it is so evident and frequent. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I knew I had this plaque. No, I had it on a cup. So here is where we end our consideration, with the admonition to forget not all his benefits. Some of those benefits we reviewed were, first of all, regarding our faith, our trusting God, our hope in the guidance of our good shepherd. The second benefit we should not forget is to fill our minds with the Holy Word, and in that process to continuously remove any and all unnecessary impediments to the heavenly bounty that is ours. I added the scriptures and forgot because I thought I had extra time, so I added these additional scriptures on these subjects as we go through here. I won't read all of them. The third is that we looked at, the third benefit, comes from the power and comfort afforded us through prayer. The fourth benefit is the synergistic coming together of the previous benefits to bring us strength in every time of need, to have him next to us in every affliction, every battle. The fifth benefit is that peace of God which passes beyond all human understanding. The sixth benefit is love. Love in little things and big. Love without dissimulation. Unfeigned, never failing, always rejoicing in truth. Not any love, not every truth, but love arising as a fragrant wafting from heavenly wisdom, heavenly instruction, heavenly plans becoming revealed. True love that can make a difference. And our seventh benefit is living with an abundance of recollection of how the Lord God Almighty, creator of all things, who knoweth the end from the beginning. This seventh benefit of recalling all those things he hath done for us, to be grateful, thankful, no matter how seemingly small, no matter that the golden token of such love be ever so difficult to pass on to another, how significant it had been in your heart, a great benefit, a grace for you. So when we look again now at our paragraph from 4102, do we note the influence is excellent of the scripture on the wall? Do we note that it reminds the heart of great favors? Do we note that it's because they are exceeding great and precious promises and they're helping in our character building? Yes. When we place a plaque on a wall, the thought contained in it may soon be lost to common camouflage. Let it not be so for the Word of God, meant to keep us from danger, an impenetrable structure of his will concerning us. What is on the wall should become more to us, of greater value to us, stronger to us than the wall itself. Let all his benefits toward us be our ready thoughts and lead our deeds of kindness and of love for his name's sake. all the plaques only have their value when supported by that one nail. That's another lesson, Isaiah 22:23. The effort to keep the word of the Lord before us is never a futile effort. When it is for the intended purpose of keeping the mind, the heart, always willing, always set on Him who loves us so. We seek to magnify His name in all we do every day. He knows we are as dust and our imperfect lives not capable enough to stand without His help. Nevertheless, by His word, we may make a gallant effort to magnify His name by letting even the smallest spark of our hearts to think on Him, that we may be in the conversation, having our names in His special book of remembrance, and always having in our eternity the love recollection of those plaques upon the wall. Amen. May these words work His grace in your hearts, dear brethren.